You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Are the Dutch confident they can defeat England and reach the final? Who are Netherlands' most informed players right now? When did the Netherlands win the Euro last time? And what does the classic English phrase squeaky bum time mean? Hello, Footglishers. How are you doing? I hope you're doing great. Here is another episode of your favorite football podcast, which is your solution to learning English in a fun way, or at least I hope so. And this episode is a historic moment because it's the first time ever on this podcast that we have a returning guest. And of course, it is my friend and a fellow English teacher, Leontes, who you may also know as Mr. Henriquez. By the way, check out his YouTube channel. The link is in the description of this podcast. Leontes, welcome back to the Footglish
podcast. Hi, Senek. Thanks for having me again. I'm honored.
Hi, it's a pleasure. I think you know why you are back, by the way. I think you know the reason.
Yeah. We've made it until the semifinals. Into the semifinals even, yeah.
Yeah, when you say we, I don't think you are referring to you and I, yeah, because we are not from the same country. I'm from the Czech Republic, you're from the Netherlands, and your team, the Dutch, you are in the semi-final of Euro 2024. The tulips are blooming.
Yeah, for some reason. Sort of a miracle, I think.
But it's nice to hear it, isn't it?
Yeah. But a good thing about having low expectations is that everything that's above your expectations is a success. So in that case, we're having a success.
Exactly. Because if you have very high expectations, then you can only get disappointed.
Yeah. Look at Portugal, Germany.
Exactly. Speaking of tulips, did you know that they actually came from the Ottoman Empire? From Turkey. Okay. Did you know that?
Wow. No.
Because they are your national flower. But
Yeah. We have lots and lots of tulip fields. So that's definitely worth visiting. If you're ever in the Netherlands, definitely go to one of the tulip fields.
Well, I had to mention that because it's a fun fact. And because, of course, you played against Turkey in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
And you beat them 2-1. It was the only game that did not go to extra time.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, definitely.
I would say it was one of the better games as well, because unfortunately we have seen some really, really uninspiring, lackluster games in this tournament, especially in the knockout stages.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So kudos to you for not being part of that.
Well, I was going to watch the game. I was on my way watching the game with my girlfriend's family. So we're in the car and she said, "What do you think that's going to happen?" I said, "Well, we're probably going to lose based on some sort of ugly goal that Turkey will score somewhere near the end." We didn't lose. We won the game, but it was an ugly goal, you know, in a way that you can think, "Eh." And when we were behind, I went around the room and said, "You see, this is what I mean.
Yeah, the truth is, your winning goal wasn't one of the most beautiful goals you could see in football. We call these scrappy goals. I thought your player actually scored it. It was Gakpo, wasn't it? But it turned out that it was an old goal.
Yeah. We also thought it was Gakpo, but then we saw that it was an old goal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it looked like Gakpo kind of made it happen because he forced that defender to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gakpo, he has been doing really well. I think he's best player so far, isn't he?
Yeah. I think the same goes for Daniel Malen, who has also been quite excellent, actually. And of course, Wout Weghorst. For some weird reason, Wout Weghorst is sort of like the Ruud van Nistelrooy of the or Robin van Persie, not really Robin van Persie because he's not as quick, of the contemporary Oranje, as we would call them.
Well, he's not as quick now, of course. Ruud van Nistelrooy, no. Right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But once he was.
Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, going back to Gakpo, yeah, I think he has a decent chance of winning the Golden Boot this time because I believe there are several players on 3 goals, but all of them are knocked out.
Oh, wow.
There's Ivan Schranz of Slovakia, Musiala from Germany, and then there's one more. I can't remember his name.
Is it Ronaldo? Probably usually Ronaldo.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Ronaldo didn't score any goals this time. Ooh. By the way, the previous episode was about Ronaldo. So, Gakpo has 3 goals under his belt. So if he scores in the semi-final, I think one more goal should do it.
Yeah, no, I think he should definitely try to score. I think he's going to score. Hmm. Yeah, based on his form, his recent form, I think he's going to score. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Daniel Malen. Or maybe even Valverde. I think the 3 of them, you know. And maybe if he has a good day, Memphis Depay. But I wouldn't put my money on Memphis Depay.
Yeah, it seems like he's not in best shape.
No, no. I think there were some key moments during the final game where you kind of noticed that Memphis Depay is not as agile as, let's say, an Arjen Robben. Or maybe, you know, any of those other players. You know, he's not as quick as Daniel James, the Leeds and are of Welsh player.
Yeah.
So you really see that in these games. And he's kind of, you know, he's off track. He's very strong, probably. He's very strong. But all of that muscle doesn't really help him with his agility.
Hmm. And in this game against Turkey, you played really well, but so did Turkey. And there were some moments where it looked like the Turks were going to equalize. You had some amazing goal line clearances and the goalkeeper was nowhere near the ball. He was in no man's land.
Yeah.
And one of your defenders cleared the ball. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do think that this, of course, this rivalry between Turkey and the Netherlands is always very interesting when they play football. Lots of Turkish people went onto the streets as well with the Dutch supporters for some reason. I don't know why they do this. And there's this joke that goes around in the Netherlands where, you know, are you familiar with the idea of Turkish weddings? What they do when they have a Turkish wedding that all of the cars kind of, you know, follow each other and honk. Well, there's this in Dutch. There is a word for honking, which is toeteren. And then there's this sketch online of a professional company that makes sketches where they say toeteren, right? With some sort of Turkish accent. So everybody goes like, well, there's not toeteren anymore now.
Right.
So because they would do this if they were to win the game against the Netherlands.
It's like a meme doing the rounds, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, they have very passionate fans in some way. It could be considered borderline crazy and mad and insane, but, you know, they love football there, that's for sure. And if they can avoid being violent, which we have seen as well, then I love it, actually. I'm a big fan.
And I think they also have very passionate players. I think that's something that really stood out during the game, that the Turkish players are passionate, they're willing to fight till the end. And we lack that passion. I think the Oranje players lack passion. I think they take things a bit for granted, especially the big names like Virgil van Dijk, even Gakpo sometimes, Depay definitely, where you see them kind of take it for granted that they're there. Yeah. Whereas, you know, you want to see the passion. You want to see that we're in the game to win. So,
yeah, to be honest, I think Turkey have been a lot of people's favorite team in this tournament. Yeah. And even I warmed up to them because obviously we lost against them. There were some issues with the referee and it was quite painful for the Czechs to swallow. But I have to say, objectively, with the benefit of hindsight, Now, they are one of the few teams who have been the shining light of the tournament. So, well done beating them. And yeah. Now you are in the semi-final, and your next opponent is England.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
I feel like I'm in an existential crisis now, because I usually support England. On European rounds, on the World Cup, I usually support England. Now I noticed that they're playing very boring football this tournament. I don't know. We have this competition thing with some friends, and I said, well, England's going to win the cup, but then of course we're now facing England, so it's either I lose or we lose. So I don't know what I find more important. If I look at everything, if you look at the big picture, I think that we're going to win. It's safe to say that we're going to win. I don't think England have found their routine in this tournament. I think that's something that they're struggling with. I don't know whether Southgate has anything to do with it, but I think, if I were him, I would have picked Rashford, for example. But that's just me. Sancho.
You're a Manchester United fan. That's the reason.
To be honest,
you think you're going to win?
Yeah.
Great. No, I have to be honest with you. I also wanted to support England. They were about my third, fourth team at the Euros. Yeah, after the Czech Republic, then Slovakia. I also wanted Ukraine to do well, and then England. But after all these performances, I can't bring myself to cheer for them anymore. I just can't. I would rather, I will be honest with you, I have changed my stance, and I would rather you won it now.
Wow. So you're wearing an orange shirt tomorrow as well?
No, not necessarily, but my money is on a draw, actually. Yeah, so I have placed a bet on two draws.
I hope we don't go into penalties, because I think penalties don't show anything.
Well, that's I think where England, ironically, they shine, because they have some very good players with a lot of self-belief. While they may not be in good form, penalties are about confidence and self-belief. And the narrative of England being a terrible penalty team, I think, has been put to bed, right? So they are no longer that bad team. They can actually take good penalties now, England.
There was a glitch for a few seconds. You froze.
Yeah. Well, let's hope your players don't freeze during this game.
No, I hope. I think that I don't want to go to penalties. I think penalties are nerve-wracking. I think it's squeaky bum time, which I don't like. And I think they don't really show the skills of the team. I mean, what you said about individual players, that right, of course, that's correct. And I also think, if we think of previous matches in which it ended in penalties with the Netherlands, I think the Dutch coaches have proven themselves to make good substitutions. You know, Louis van Gaal, for example, substituting the goalkeeper in the final 2 minutes of additional time. So that was something very interesting. But I'd rather see one of them either win and win properly than go into penalties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. The thing is, like, we probably can expect something similar from England that we have seen so far, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like they only start playing when they are trailing. Yeah. When it's 0-0, they will just show nothing. It's boredom.
Yeah.
And I can't see how this could suddenly change dramatically. I don't see a reason for it. Harry Kane is out of form. Foden isn't clicking with the team at all. So it's kind of on Saka's shoulders at the moment.
Yep.
He had a good game against Switzerland. And Bellingham, also not his best tournament, but at least he can be in the right place at the right time and show some moments of brilliance. So this is someone you have to be careful about, for sure.
Yeah. So I hope that we've gained some confidence after winning against Turkey. And let's hope. I've spoken to some friends who think it's going to be a Dutch-Spanish final again, which is something we don't like.
That's what I want to happen.
Yeah. I asked ChatGPT for the competition that I'm in with my friends, who's going to win. And they mentioned, you know, England as the winner and France as being a good contender, same with Spain and Portugal. And then I said, what about the Netherlands? Will they win? And they said, well, they're not in the favorites. The bookmakers wouldn't put them in the favorites, but, you know, they're okay. So who knows?
Yeah, well, probably a better position to be in, because sometimes when you are considered to be a strong favorite, you get complacent and you have too much self-confidence, and pride precipitates a dizzying fall sometimes, you know. Yeah. So that's why perhaps this is a better situation to be in.
Yeah.
But it looks like your team has been slowly improving. I thought in the group stages it was nothing to write home about.
No.
And it didn't really show much, but slowly but surely I think you're gaining some momentum.
Yep. And I think
the knockout matches show your potential.
Yeah. I think Koeman has a job at hand. I think he needs to think of a new generation, let go of players like Memphis, find other Dutch players that are worth taking to the World Cup in 2 years, see what they do, train them in such a way that, you know, there's a philosophy in the team that works. I think that's his biggest challenge, regardless of what happens tomorrow.
Hmm. All right. And my final question for you, Leontes, must be, who would you like to have in the final?
Well, I think a Spanish-Dutch competition would be fine. Yeah. We have in our national anthem, we sing Ben ik van Duits en bloed. So we sing I am from German blood or something. And then we also say de koning van Hispanje, which is the king of Spain, heb ik altijd geëerd, which is a reference back to the times when the Dutch were part of Spain. Mm. The Netherlands were parts of Spain, the lower countries. So, you know, that's interesting. But of course, in this case, we're not going to ear the Spanish. We're not going to honor the Spanish. And we're going to beat them in the final and become European champions for the first time since 1988.
Yeah, well, you have some teams that have never become European champions yet. Yeah. Like England have never done it, as far as I know. So,
no. Yeah. I saw this very nice advertisement by the people of I don't know what it's called in England in English, but it's Thuisbezorgd, which is a company that delivers food at your house. It's Just Eat. It was Just Eat, but then they merged together, and they have It's Coming and then Home in Dutch. So it says It's Coming Thuis with their logo, which is fine. I think that's a nice reference to the England Netherlands game. But it's coming thuis, not it's going home.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
And one thing is for sure, if you make it, if you really win the tournament, you're certainly going to have to come back here.
Yeah, I will.
Because you are my go-to Dutch guy. So.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Leontes, it's been a pleasure. Good luck to you in this game against England. And this time I actually mean it. Because as I talk to different people from different countries, sometimes I say good luck because I want to be nice.
Yeah.
want to be nice to my guest. But this time, after everything I have seen from England, I actually mean it. Good luck to you guys.
Thanks. We'll see what happens.
Against England. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, Leontes. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Welcome back, listeners. As always, in this part of the show, which is called the Language Corner, you are supposed to learn something. And today, I would like to explain the phrase squeaky bum time, which sounds a bit weird, I know. Leontes said, I hope we don't go to penalties. I think penalties are nerve-wracking. They are squeaky bum time. So nerve-wracking is basically, it's like a nervous moment, nervous situation. It wrecks your nerves. But what is squeaky bum time? That's a strange sounding phrase, isn't it? And it has the word bum in it. Bum as in bottom, arse. Squeaky. You know what squeaky is, right? When you open the door and the door is maybe a little bit old and it has rusty rusty parts, it makes this sound. Yeah, squeak, to squeak. Or a pig squeaks. Not exactly the sound a pig would make, but you know what I mean. But squeaky bum time is actually used humorously to refer to the final stage of a football game when the team that is winning gets increasingly worried that the other team might score. Or it can be used more generally as in the way Leontes used it, as in, oh, it's that nerve-wracking moment, the penalties. Yeah, and guess who coined this phrase? It was actually Alex Ferguson himself, the manager of Manchester United, the you know, sir. He's sir, actually. He has been knighted. And he used this in reference to his own team challenging for the title in the closing stages of the English Premier League. Yeah, so it was him who came up with this strange sounding expression, which is, by the way, very common in England. People use it all the time when referring to that nervous moment when things could go wrong and, you know, last 5 minutes, it's a nail-biting experience, isn't it? It's squeaky bum time. All right, listeners, I think that's it. I would like to remind you that you should definitely subscribe to the Footglish podcast if you haven't done so already. Please do, because in that way you will not miss any future episodes. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.